You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Have a lot to talk about. The Timberwolves are on a four-game winning streak. That's all on the heels of just total destruction of the Spurs. We're also going to talk about the point guards, how that's affecting the team. We've got a Derrick Rose conversation coming. Going to defend maybe a little Jeff Teague. Maybe we're going to defend him, maybe not. Tyus Jones conversation as well. All that is happening with a lovely reporter from Fox 9 that I met over Summer League. We're both in Vegas, both in the Vegas haze of Summer League. And through that came a really, I would like to say, a stellar performance. Pierre Nugent of the Fox 9 team covering the Timberwolves among one of his many tasks. Pierre, thank you so much for joining the show, and I'm glad that we could get you back on after the impressions left from Summer League. I felt like it was an A performance that we did in Summer League through the caffeine and the fatigue of all the basketball that we were just forced to watch.
No, I appreciate you having me back. And yeah, Summer League, I'm longing for the days of Summer League right now. I'm looking out my window and I'm seeing snow on the ground, and I would give anything for the Vegas desert right now. So, but yeah, Summer League was a great time, and it's good to be back.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. It does sound, the warm weather, I remember it fondly, like a distant dream.
Oh, man. Listen, I'm from California, so anything under 70 degrees to me is cold. So imagine what I feel about trying to survive these Minnesota winters.
Yeah, and this is just the taste. January, February, that's when it really, really gets nasty. So it's gonna, you have fun times in store. Is all we're trying.
Can't wait.
So I when we were talking about this show earlier in the week, I kind of wanted to talk about the point guards. I feel like the point guard position may be the most fascinating key on this Timberwolves team, but I think we would be making a mistake if we didn't at least touch on the four-game winning streak that the Timberwolves are on, especially after beating the Spurs by 39 points. What's your 10-second take on the Timberwolves as of right now after watching them dismantle a team that's usually had the number of the Timberwolves over the years?
My initial reaction would be whenever you hear Tom Thibodeau talking about, well, we just need to practice, we need time to practice. And people just kind of roll their eyes at that, and they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. But that's exactly what they needed. After the trade was made, you know, they just needed time. They needed time to gel. They needed time to incorporate the new guys, and people need to figure out what their roles are now that Jimmy Butler is gone. And I think over the last couple of weeks, you're starting to see the pieces kind of come together, and they just needed time to gel, and Robert Covington has fit in very, very well here. Outside of that, one for 12 shooting night or whatever it was against the Bulls. One for 18, and Wiggins was 0 for 12. Yeah, I think, you know, that was really the only blemish of Robert Covington's short tenure as a Minnesota Timberwolf, and he's been terrific, I think, so far. I think he has fit in perfectly. He is the exact type of guy that Tom Thibodeau wants, two-way player, long, can defend, can block shots. I think they're starting to figure out what they are, and there's still plenty of basketball left to be played. So it's going to be a lot of fun watching them and seeing how well they can kind of pick up steam the rest of the way.
Well, I wanted to talk about the point guards today, Derrick Rose especially on the Timberwolves. This is kind of a good lead-in. I have a bit of a hot take, and it's that Ben Simmons, I think that he's got a lot of ceiling left to reach. But as of kind of last year going to this year, he's a bit overrated as a point guard. And I know that might come with a little pushback, but if you look at the numbers, and I know it is just 8 games for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, but if you look at their numbers, especially Robert Covington, when he's with guards that actually can threaten teams from more than just 5 feet outside the rim, he is averaging more points. He's shooting really well from the field. He's shooting his best 3-point percentage of his career. He's averaging more rebounds. His steals are off the charts. His defense has played really well into this. But the offensive numbers, when you look at the new guys being brought in, I think it's fair to make a connection that this is a testament to how good the backcourt is for the Timberwolves, that they can create all these opportunities, and that this trade is probably the best case scenario because you bring in two guys, Darius Arch, Robert Covington, who shoot the three so well. They're not going to take away shots from everybody on the Timberwolves. There's a lot of guys who like to drive on the Timberwolves team right now and like to get those kind of intermediate shots. Robert Covington and Darius Arch not only slide in well to this team, but I think they show how good all the point guards on this Timberwolves roster are. Is that a fair claim to make?
I think so. One thing I would say about Ben Simmons is I have, you know, watching him last year in his first year in the league, I was texting a very good friend of mine who's covered the NBA for a while, and just watching him, I said, I think in 2 or 3 years, Ben Simmons is going to be absolutely unguardable. And right now, that's not exactly the case because, you know, he's not shooting the ball well. He's just flat out not shooting the ball well. And you know, your jump shot, it might come and go at times. He's not having a Markelle Fultz crisis. I mean, so let's not get carried away with that for Ben Simmons. But to answer your question, yes, I would say that the point guard situation, and I know a lot of people weren't wild about Jeff Teague becoming a Minnesota Timberwolf. They kind of were like, yeah, okay, I mean, he's a nice player, but he can't defend. Well, you know, I'm going to steal a page from Derrick Rose's book, what they said about a week ago, saying, who really plays defense in the NBA? You know, I'm not looking at my point guard situation and saying, well, if you can't stop the ball at midcourt, then you're absolutely worthless. Because, you know, you're the first domino in the line of defense, and if that happens, I'm not going to lose that much sleep over it. Teague is averaging over 7 assists, which I like a lot. Rose comes off the bench and is scoring at an average pace that nobody thought that he would do. 19 a game off the bench for him. Tyus Jones, while I think could be an everyday backup point guard for just about almost anybody else in the NBA, I feel bad for in a sense because the minutes just aren't there for him right now. With the way Rose is playing, excuse me, I'm sorry about that. With the way Rose is playing right now, there just aren't consistent minutes there for Tyus Jones. I know he's going to get a few minutes here and there, but and Tom likes to play Teague and Rose together sometimes. But, you know, the best players will play. And Teague and Rose right now are ahead of Tyus. So, if you know, when you ask me if I'm feeling good about the point guard situation, absolutely I am. Absolutely. You know, Derek is a guy that likes to slash and get in the lane. And Teague is a guy who can shoot from the outside, and he's no problem being a pass-first point guard. So I really like the balance that they have right now at that position.
After that 50-point game from Derrick Rose, and kind of going point guard by point guard here, like you already outlined, if you're looking at Jeff Teague just on his own, after the 50-point game, I was having a lot of those conversations with people who cover the sport and people who are just fans of basketball and of the Timberwolves, where they're like, okay, the next piece that you have to trade Jeff Teague after you get Jimmy Butler out of the building. And then when they do trade Jimmy Butler, okay, Jeff Teague is the next piece to go. And Why is this the way that people feel about Jeff Teague? And nobody on this team plays that much defense. It's not like you have all these great defenders and then Jeff Teague is stealing minutes from some stalwart point guard defender like Chris Paul they have just sunk on the bench who's waiting behind him. Nobody really plays defense on this team, and not only is he averaging a lot of assists, he is top 10 amongst guards in assists per game at 7.6. I don't know if you're getting the same. I know that his scoring hasn't been quite there this year where it's been in years past for Jeff Teague, but I don't think you're getting the same amount of playmaking for teammates around other guards like Derrick Rose when when he's not on the floor. I don't think you're getting the same amount of opportunities for Covington, for Wiggins, for Towns when Jeff Teague isn't out there. I know that there are times when he can pull the offense from a full court transition, fast-paced offense into more of a half-court sluggish offense, but he has done a lot better, and it helps when you play two guards together, which is something I think everyone who covered the Timberwolves was begging for last year, to play more two-point guard lineups. But when you have two guards out there, they're fast-paced, he's assisting well, and he's not playing too far outside of his offense. He's not taking a crazy amount of shots that says this is a detriment to the team. He's doing a lot more, and that's why I think you see guys like Sarge and Covington slide right into the system well, is you have a guard who can draw defenses still because of that scoring, but he's looking to pass first, and I don't think you're getting that anywhere else on this roster. So as far as point guards are concerned, I think every single one of them is important, starting with Teague.
Yeah, no, well, I would completely agree. And on top of that, I would also say, how many times have we seen nights where both Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns are having off nights? I mean, it's not terribly often, but we've seen it often enough where they're not scoring. And I would even argue that, you know, Wiggins has been inconsistent enough to where I'm thinking, outside of Towns, who's going to be your primary scoring option? The answer is obviously Wiggins, but when he's having an off night, I'm looking right at Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague is the guy I'm looking for to help shoulder the scoring load if somebody's having an off night. Now, he's not going to be Steve Nash in terms of, you know, running up and down the floor and pace of play and handing out double-digit assists every night, but he doesn't need to be. I think he's doing a really good job for Tom, and, you know, Jeff and Derek have different styles. You mentioned, you know, sometimes they get in the half court. You know, Jeff's not a run and gun type of a point guard. Derek is the one who likes to push the pace of play. Actually, it's funny watching Derek when he's in the game and running the point. You can see whenever he gets the ball in the backcourt, he's ready to run, but the rest of the team is not ready to run with him. I mean, that's not this team's style. They just have too many guys who are long and big that don't really run the floor as well as you would like to with a guy like Derrick Rose who likes to push the pace of play. But the contrasting styles, I think, works for the personnel that you can rotate in and out off the bench. And I think Teague is a guy that, you know, like I said earlier, I'm looking to him to score if Wiggins is having an off night. He's my number three option in terms of shouldering the offensive load, and at times the number two option if Cat or if Wiggins is having an off night. So he's very, very valuable. And I don't understand why anybody would think that they would trade him immediately after Jimmy. They needed all the help and scoring they can get. Once Jimmy's out the door, you're not going to trade one more asset that can help shoulder the scoring load.
No, I absolutely agree there with you. And we're pounding the table. And I think anybody who's really watching this team as well is pounding the table that you can't trade Jeff Teague. Another reason, too, is you'd be betting on an injury-prone Derrick Rose and Tyus Jones. Let's talk about Tyus Jones quickly before we get to Derrick Rose. Is there a level of disappointment there for you around Tyus Jones and how he's performed? He's averaging the most minutes he's ever averaged throughout his career. He's averaging the most shot attempts both from the field and from three-point range that he's averaged throughout his career. And yet it still seems like there's a gap between what he offers you just as a playmaker for his teammates, as somebody who can create turnovers on defense, and the shots he can create for himself. He just doesn't seem to still have that kind of cutthroat killer instinct as a point guard to where you can trust him like a Derrick Rose or like a Jeff Teague to create his own shots and to get you a bucket in the last 5 minutes of a game that you need to get from your starting point guard. There seems to be a gap there on his offense between really great, well-rounded point guard and just a great assist maker.
Yeah, I would say, you know, and he's still young. He's still young. He hasn't really fully... Here's the situation with Tyus. He's not getting, while you say he's getting, you know, career high minutes, what kind of minutes are they? Are they quality minutes with guys on the floor? Is he paired with another point guard at the time? You know, because Tibbs likes to run that two point guard system from time to time. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I don't think it is. I think Tyus Jones has plenty of confidence in himself, but I wonder if he wonders if Tibbs has confidence in him. And it's hard to kind of really get yourself into a rhythm and get yourself into the groove when you can clearly see that there are two point guards on the team ahead of you. So, you know, I actually didn't even know until you pointed out just now that he's averaging a career high in minutes, which is actually stunning to me, considering, you know, the two point guards that they have on the roster and the which they're playing right now. I would have imagined by now that Tyus would have been buried on the bench. But with his opportunity getting in the game, you know, I see him on the floor. He's one of those guys right now where it's like, I see you on the floor, but I don't really notice you. Like, what did Tyus do in the game today that really left an impression on you? Nothing good, but nothing bad. He's just kind of there. So I think he's still trying to carve out a role for himself on this team. I think he needs more consistent minutes in order for it to happen. Unfortunately, he's got two guys ahead of him, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Well, that's true. The concern for me is that when he is out there, again, I know that's not every minute, not all minutes are equal, right? And not every minute that he's out there is exactly valuable to judge. But he still is averaging the most shot attempts that he has in his career, but he's averaging the worst shooting percentage that he has in his young career. And while he's out there with a couple point guards, all these guys are going to play together, it seems, is kind of the plan. And when he's out there with Derrick Rose, there are plenty of times where Derrick Rose, the offense isn't running through him. And that kind of seems to be the best spot for Derrick Rose when he's not controlling the offense, when he is more playing almost like a shooting guard role where he's playing either off ball or he's going isolation and he's looking to score when he does have the ball. Now, he is averaging a few assists per game. I get that he is still playing a pretty true point guard role, but he's not necessarily the make plays for my teammates first type of point guard on this team, and they've got a couple other guys for that. That said, I would really love to see a couple times where Tyus Jones just says, you know what, this is going to be my possession to really dominate. And it seems like when he is taking opportunity on some shots, he just doesn't have the confidence to finish, or he's not getting to the rim enough to finish. I mean, if he's not going to shoot very well, I would love to see him get to the free throw line more. And he's only averaging 0.7 free throw attempts per game, which is pretty low too. So I really want to see more from him scoring wise. I want to see a game where it doesn't even have to be a high scoring game. I just want to see a game where there's like three or four possessions where I say, wow, okay, that's the offensive scoring I was looking for. That's where I can tell maybe he's not getting the minutes to show it right now, but there's something in the future that leads me to believe he's got it. He's got that factor.
That's funny. It's funny to me that you say that, because I think we differ on that a little bit, because I don't necessarily need to see Tyus, from my perspective, I don't think I need to see Tyus score the ball that often or at a consistent pace really for me to kind of feel that he has an impact. I look at Tyus's role as the guy, because we know Jeff can score. We absolutely know Derek can score. So are you going to play? It depends on what style do you want to play when Tyus is in the game. If Tyus is going to be your primary ball handling point guard, what kind of style do you want to play when he's in a game? Do you want to be the run and gun, up and down, pace of play type team? Or do you want to be a half court type team? Either way, I look at Tyus as the opportunity I look at for him is to be the pass first point guard that, you know, doesn't necessarily need to score. He's the facilitator. He's the guy who makes sure everybody else is in the right spot in order to run the offense properly. He's the, for lack of a better term, game manager, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of a role I think that he might be able to carve out for himself. He doesn't have to look for a shot first. And I don't think Tibbs needs him to look for a shot first. And I think that's maybe where I feel that he can make the most impact, is if I'm looking at him being a facilitator, being a guy who makes sure his teammates are in the right spot and getting them the ball where they need in those right spots. That's kind of where I feel that he might be able to carve out a niche for himself.
That may be, and if that is the way he's going to play, then Covington and Saric are really good pieces to have alongside somebody with that play style. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to Derrick Rose, the most exciting, maybe most improved player right now in the NBA. First, some sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and effectively deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by five rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers and snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. That's me. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep your toasty warm, and even in the most frigid weathers, you can stay comfortably warm. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save up to 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. Again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon and check out everything Action Heat has to offer. Use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. That's 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So I'm trying to think about guys that were signed off the scrap heap over the last like 2-3 years. And I mean, as far as just what they do, maybe not even in overall production compared to the league, but what they do for their team outside of maybe like Alonzo Trier for the Knicks, is there a guy over the last, let's go 2 years, that has been kind of pulled out of nowhere and done more for a team than Derrick Rose has for the Timberwolves?
Boy, oh man, it's hard to come up with a name. What's Rose making? $2.5 million? Was it a 1 year, $2.5 million deal?
Yeah, it was either 1 year, two. It might have been like only 1.2 million too. It might have been that low even.
I think it's hard really to come up with a name. The only other name that I could maybe think of, and he's not having a good year shooting the ball, has actually been a little bit of a disappointment. Was, you know, I know a lot of people were excited about a little bit of the revitalization of Tyreke Evans when he had a good year in Memphis and you know the Indiana signs. I mean, again, he's not shooting the ball well. It looks like he's left his jump shot in Memphis, but you know, Derrick Rose. I mean, you talk about bang for the buck. I mean, in 20 games, this guy already has earned his contract and more, in my opinion. Yeah, I know a lot of people shied away, and you know he's got some off the court things that people I think shied away from, and he's got on the court things that people shied away from too. Because you know when you have as many knee injuries as Derrick has had, at some point you got to look and think to yourself, well, I just don't know if he's going to have the same burst, if he's going to just be the same guy. And yeah, I think he's proven he doesn't have to be the same guy, but my goodness, he's been, what would you say, 80% of his MVP caliber year, I think, is what we're seeing. And
I think that's fair.
I think that's damn well a lot more than a lot of people thought that we would see from Derrick Rose, and he's just been sensational. I know that Tom Thibodeau has been really, really happy for him to see Derrick kind of, you know, rise from the ashes, if you will, and be, you know, a star in this league again. That's what he's playing like right now. He's playing like a star. He really is.
Just to keep it fact-based, you're right. Kudos to you. The deal for Derrick Rose right now, $2.4 million on a one-year deal. In comparison, the deal for Tyreke Evans to the Pacers, 1 year, $12 million. So just to kind of really realize what kind of bang for your buck you are getting for Derrick Rose, paying $10 million less for him, and he is averaging 19 points per game. Among point guards, that is ninth most in scoring in the NBA. And if you're looking at his field goal efficiency, he's shooting 49% 49.8% to be exact from the field. That ranks fifth amongst point guards in the NBA. Fifth. And he's doing that on just over a hair over 14 shot attempts per game. I think the biggest knock for me when Derrick Rose joined the Timberwolves last year, a knock against him was that he just, with the Cavs, with the Knicks, he was an inefficient point guard. He was taking a lot of ill-advised shots. He was taking a bunch of shots, not shooting very efficiently, and he didn't seem to give them an outside presence. Now with the Timberwolves, you see him not only shooting efficiently, but he's also shooting 48% from outside. He's giving them that deep game, giving them the spacing on the floor that they desperately need. My only question is it too early to ask you to jump on the sixth man of the year train with me for Derrick Rose? Because I'm starting it right now. I'm all aboard.
No way. No. There's no way it's too early. Absolutely. When you look around the league, I know you're going to have a handful of guys who you could point to that'll be, you know, competing with Derrick for that sixth man of the year award. But he has been sensational. You mentioned he's shooting, what is he shooting? 49% from the field?
49.8.
What's he shooting from three? 46? 45, 46?
He's shooting 48.6% from three.
That's insane. I mean, let's be honest. I think both of those numbers are a little bit unsustainable throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, there will be a regression to the mean on the three-point shooting, I think.
Yeah, I think 48% from three, I think, is a little bit unsustainable, but if he drops back down to, 42, in between that 42 and 44 range, you're still ecstatic about that. You're ecstatic about it. And I mean, 19 a game off the bench. He's running. The only thing that I would say, and this is where, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, I don't know if anybody else notices this, but every time I see Derek get the ball in the backcourt, he looks like he is like the Energizer Bunny ready to run, but the rest of the team is not ready to run with him. That's the only thing that I would want to see from this team right now is the pace of play, you know, when they got a guy like Derek, you know, with the ball in his hands, because let him run. Let him do his thing. But, you know, I don't know if Tom really would agree that, you know, they have the personnel that's built for that right now, and that's okay. Especially in the last four games, they haven't been a team that'll run up and down the court. But Derek is a guy right now who is just playing out of his mind. It really is a lot of fun to see, and I think it has a lot of people around the league energized, because remember, this guy has a huge fan base, especially in the city of Chicago. And wherever he goes, you know, I see it anytime I tweet something about Derrick Rose. You see people interact with him because he's got such a huge fan base. And I think a lot of people are just excited to see him be a star in this league again.
Derrick Rose Twitter is a fun place right now. It's a really fun place.
It really is.
One more note before we kind of tie a bow on this point guard conversation. Derrick Rose is the only point guard among point guards. He's the only one in the top 13 among scoring that averages less than 30 minutes per game. Everyone else, you see James Harden, Kemba Walker, when they're at point guard, they're all averaging over 35 or over minutes per game. Lillard is averaging 34, LaVine 36. These are all guys amongst the top 10 in scoring. Derrick Rose is the only one under 30 minutes. So again, really efficient basketball. He's giving you the most points, the best shooting in one of the smallest kind of sectors of time, as far as if you're comparing him to the top point guards in the NBA right now. Could not be more impressed and more satisfied with what Derrick Rose is giving this team. You talk about the pace as well. I think that when you have an explosion of pace and transition offense in the NBA, like the leap that it's taken, especially this year, if not for the last 5 years, but especially this year, it is important to have somebody like Rose who can push the pace, and I think it pairs really well. You've got guys like Andrew Wiggins can get into a transition mode, but guys like Josh Okogie I think really pair well with Derrick Rose and what he gives this offense. It's fun to watch the Timberwolves when Derrick Rose is on the court, especially with a certain mix of players. And so my question, kind of looking back at the talk that we've had for the last 20 minutes, is I know that Towns is going to get the most press. Wiggins, you're going to talk about a lot. The new guys, Covington, Sarge, what can they add to the team? That all gets a conversation. My case to you, though, is I think the point guards in the key in versatility here and the the continued creativity that the Timberwolves coaching staff has had so far this season make the point guards the key to this whole thing. And whether the team does well or does poorly kind of hinges on the play of these three guards.
I think that's probably fair to say that to a certain degree. I think, you know, we talked a little earlier about the different styles between Teague and Rose, and I think they get the best of both worlds by both styles. Now, they also get the worst of both worlds. I mean, like we said, Teague is not exactly your ideal defensive point guard, but, you know, as far as you know, these guys' styles go, they might be different, but yes, the benefit for Tom Thibodeau and really the team is there are going to be nights where you see Andrew Wiggins go 0 for 12, where you see Robert Covington go 1 of 18. Cat has himself some 5 of 16 type of games. You're going to see those nights. They're going to happen. And you need guys who can back you up and pick up the load when your stars are not performing like the stars you need them to perform. And that's when Teagan and Rose, that's where they come in. That's where those guys come in. They can score the ball. They can facilitate. They can run. They need them both. They need them both. And I think, you know, a lot of people are probably thinking, well, why don't you start Rose maybe instead of Teague? Why don't you start Rose and Teague together? I think it's fine right where it's at. And I think Tom is loving the fact that he can bring a guy like Derek off the bench and not lose a lot of ground, if any at all, really, when Teague comes out of the game. And I think that's a huge benefit to him. And, you know, when you've got guys that are in your rotation and you bring them in, your hope is just that the level of play doesn't drop off by a significant margin when your starters are on the bench. And that is certainly the case with Derrick Rose. And it's a luxury for them to be able to interchange Rose, Teague, and mix Tyus in when they need to, because they're not getting any type of drop off really when those guys sub in and out for each other.
Well, yeah, stagger the way they play. Why make a team defend one or two different lineups? If you're staggering them, you're forcing teams to defend at least three different lineups. You've got lineups with Teague and a few other guys. You've got lineups with Teague and Derrick Rose. You've got lineups with Derrick Rose. You've got lineups when Tyus is out there with one of those guys. Make teams conform to a bunch of different styles. Don't let them say, all right, we just got to survive a quarter and a half with Derrick Rose and Teague out there, and then this team looks totally different with just Tyus out there. Don't make it easy for a defense. And I think as far as defense for both these guards, I think this whole team is kind of punted on the idea of a traditional NBA defense and a half-court defense. They're making their money off of transition offense because of steals, and as long as they can get some points off of turnovers, I think that's what you got to be satisfied with, and that's why I think this point guard situation works.
I think the entire NBA has punted.
Well, that's fair.
Defense, too. Like, I mean, everybody's talking about pace of play and all that stuff. The only team that I can think of off the top of my head that I think would be, you know, on the level of a high quality defensive team is probably Toronto, and that's all thanks to Kawhi Leonard. Outside of that, it's just, we'll play defense when the time comes to play defense and when we really need to.
Crunch time.
I mean, you and I kind of talked earlier, earlier today, and we mentioned a team like Sacramento, who's a little bit of a surprise at 10-10. Their pace of play is through the roof, but if you really look at the numbers, I think they're giving up, I think it's 114 or 115 on the defensive end. They still can't defend to save their lives, but guess what? They're efficient at scoring the ball, and that's really what has them at 10 wins right now. It's certainly not their defense. And I think you can say the same thing about Minnesota, although we saw in that game against the Spurs what this team is capable of when it really buckles down, you know?
Absolutely.
The Wolves have an advantage in the sense when, you know, and this is kind of a similar situation to interchanging Rose and Teague. When you bring a guy like Saric off the bench and you bench Covington, or if you play both of them together, I mean, when you have Towns, Taj, and Covington in your starting lineup, and you have Saric off the bench, or even Gorgui off the bench, those are guys who are all long. Long wingspan, big hands. It's tough to find passing lanes with those guys in the game, and that is a real advantage for Minnesota on the defensive end. I think they're starting to figure that out now.
Absolutely. That's a nice way to finish out here. Pierre, thank you so much for joining the show. Before we head out, is there anything you'd like to plug, any new stuff that you have out on the inner links that you want to direct people's attention to?
No, I mean, just stay with, you know, Fox 9 Sports for all the latest. You know, they send me everywhere. Like you said, never in one place, probably for their 2 days in a row. But you can follow me on Twitter at the Nuge, N-O-U-J, the Nuge Fox 9. At the Nuge Fox 9 on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram at the _ Nuge. Again, N-O-U-J. You can follow me on all that. And I'm having a lot of fun being here in Minneapolis, getting to cover some of these teams. It's been a blast so far.
Check out his Twitter account for sure and Instagram. He's got the check mark next to his name, so you know he's official. You know he knows what he's doing. That's why we bring him on the show, to kind of add validity to what I'm saying, just so people know I'm not crazy. We have a real OG in here bringing you some grounding to my crazy ideas. Thank you, Pierre, so much for joining the show. Pleasure to have you on as always. And thank you so much to the listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.